Chell Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hello.
Well, as we move through fall toward winter, lots of things are changing in our natural world, and what should we be looking for?
To me, anyway, this particular part of the year seems like it can be in slow motion, as things just, you kind of think the next shoe is going to drop, but then it doesn't, and it just seems to be on pause. But then other years, it happens all of a sudden, and things speed up. So I don't know. I'm not making any predictions about how it'll be, but there are some things that we can be on the lookout for sure.
Like you say, some years, you know, it starts and it just doesn't stop. This year, we've had a number of times in which it's gotten kind of cold and windy, and then it kind of warms up and gets nice, and then it goes back again. And does the natural world respond to that, or they just aren't pretty much set what's going to happen?
Well, I think as we get into this late in the fall, there's less flexibility. Things that are using photo period as well as temperature to take their cues have gotten a lot of cues, and so they're probably settling in pretty good. I'd be surprised if we got another nice warm spell, for instance, to hear that thing we call the fall echo, you know, where you have a spring peeper calling, which happened in those warmer spells.
It does happen.
Through the fall. Oh, yeah. Yeah, through the fall.
But shouldn't they be somewhere else?
Well, they are where they're probably going to end up being. They're in the woods, and they're, you know, they're kind of close to wherever they're going to stay for the winter. But it's warm, so they can be out, and they're probably not way up high in trees. They're just hanging out in the shrubs somewhere and or on the ground. It's not exactly clear why they do this, but that fall echo is something that if we got another really unseasonably warm spell, it's possible that one could hear. But there are lots of other more likely things.
You'll like what?
Yeah. So, well, this time of year, I always think in terms of if people haven't seen them already, keep your eye out for snow buntings, because this is the time of year when those birds that really do most of their living much further north of us can start to push down through Minnesota and even further south, again, depending on the weather. So this is where a species like red poles and snow buntings have a lot of flexibility. You know, they're going to use the weather to sort of move them around.
Now, if listeners don't know that much about birds, snow bunnings are the ones that appear to be have a lot of white on them, but they're the little flocks that sit at the edge of the road and wait for you to get too close to them before they flutter up in front of you when you're driving.
That's right. They can add a little bit of not only beauty, but some kind of stress to roads, the back roads in particular. And it's weird. They seem to like to be herded, you know, along kind of by a vehicle. But I always try to take a little extra care. The more so than the juncos will pop, you know, kind of congregate along the side of the roads too. But they don't do those group flights in front of your vehicle like the snow buntings do.
Now, the snow buntings are coming down from the north and going
from the far Arctic. And they're only going to go as far south as they need to go. They won't even necessarily go far enough to be beyond the snow cover, because they can do in just low snow cover fields where there's lots of seeds and things. And if the snow isn't too deep, they're comfortable with that. They're good scraping down and finding seeds or seeds that are just above a light covering of snow. So they could hang around here for a while if we don't get much more severe cold weather or snow cover. So keep an eye out for them and for red poles, of course, which are always fun to see coming through. And they're going to move south as far as they need to, not way far south. And then hopefully we'll see them. Sometimes we can see them during the winter, or especially in the late winter as they start to move back, because they're also more of a much northerly bird. Another bird moving around this time of year nocturnally would be the saw-whet owls. These are among our littlest owls. Keep an eye out for them, you know, perching during the day in some quiet spot, but also maybe doing a little calling at night when they have this little very repetitive kind of monotonous whistle call that they do, or song that they do. The other bird that I don't know why I think of it, in part it's a movement thing, the northern shrike, which is a bird that is more northerly to us, and they can show up more here in the late fall, winter season. This is a bird that quite unique in the sense that it's in that big group of perching birds, the passerines, but has a diet that is a little has a little bit of flavor of a raptor to it because they're predators on small mammals, insects, and they look similar kind of in size to a gray jay, which is, would be fairly familiar to our listeners. And they're also very gray above and paler gray below. They have a black mask, though, on a white background, so a white border to a black mask. Their tails are black with white long and black and with white outer feathers, black on the wings as they're folded down. So they're striking birds, very elegant, I think, looking birds. A heavy black bill that has a bit of a hook on the end. So that would be another indication that you're looking at something other than a
another gray jay. Indication is that when a bird that looks like a gray jay comes and sits in your trees and all the other birds leave the bird feeder really quick, then you'll know. Take another look at that bird.
Exactly.
I've seen that happen many times.
Exactly. Yep. The birds definitely know that this is a potential threat. Although they probably don't catch birds successfully very often, they would certainly eat them. And they're known for this unique behavior that they have in that they will often impale whatever they've managed to catch on something sharp. Because they don't have the talons of a raptor, they can't successfully really grip onto and shred apart with talons and hold onto as they shred with their beak, a small rodent or whatever they've caught. So they'll stick it on something that'll hold it while they tear it apart with their beaks. So interesting bird, beautiful bird, a very sweet song that I won't try to imitate, but you could go, if you have access to the internet, go online and listen to the song. And I have heard it a number of times. I've been alerted to the bird's presence because of hearing the song in the wintertime, late fall, wintertime. So it's a good one to learn. And it's not that hard to learn. And of course, we can't forget that this is a time of year when the deer are mating. So look for signs of the rutting behavior. So these are big scrapes on the ground where all the leaf litter and even down into the humus has been scraped back into a more bare ground. And then the rubs where the bucks are rubbing their antlers on trees and shrubs and scraping off the bark and leaving all the shredded material behind. And so these are all places where they do a lot of scent marking, a lot of communication between males and females.
Chell Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist. Thanks for helping us understand seasonal changes.
Sure.